He is, as I referred to him today, Sportsnet's MVP, because from here I believe he goes to the Olympics. Arash Madani joins us. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Rob. How are you, man?
Great. You know, just quick time for reflection. You've been covering this tournament for a while. It has to be some kind of it must be cool to be at an event in this, both sides, men's and women's, with a Canadian story, a real legitimate Canadian story on both sides, because it wasn't always that way for the longest time in tennis. But Raonic and Bouchard are at least threats in both sides.
Yeah, for the longest time it wasn't. You know, I actually sent an email to the Tennis Canada PR director, and because Raonic has won 8 ATP titles, and I flipped her a note. I said, just to confirm, he's won the most titles than anybody else, any other Canadian, right?
Right.
And her answer was, yeah, I think one ATP title would make him the leader. I mean, this is how far it's come, that a Canadian can reach the Wimbledon final, that one Canadian has won 8 tour titles, all of it. Now, where it changed, Rob, was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that Rogers Cup, that week, you know, of the entire season, it happened in Canada, ironically enough, where Vasek Pospisil got to the semifinals. He met Raonic in the semifinal there, and it was that win by Milos that Saturday that put him into the top 10 for the first time in his career, and for the first time any Canadian man has done that. And that's when it changed. And now, suddenly, we're talking about Canadians in a completely different light than we had ever before.
And we've had young Canadians on both sides, ATP and WTA, make a little bit of noise this week. Do we? Are those one-offs? Because I remember being in Montreal, and Wozniak kind of went on a little bit of a run, but she wasn't, you know, she was never a threat. But
yeah.
Abanda, you know, are we talking about some back pressure behind both Bouchard and Raonic?
Here's what we got to do here. Let's look at each of these kids as first-round picks. Okay, let's use the
sure.
hockey, football, basketball,
yep.
baseball analogy. They are first-round picks. A guy like Shapovalov, you know, he's a lottery pick. He's an NBA lottery pick. He's a top 10 pick. Mad potential, big ceiling, could be something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Right? Because
yep.
for every Peyton Manning who went first overall, there was a Jamarcus Russell who went first overall. And we just, let's put the brakes on a little bit. Andrew Wiggins is turning into a player. LeBron James went first overall. Anthony Bennett went first overall,
right,
too.
Right.
Andrea Bargnani went first overall, too. So let's just, you know, let's just take a little bit of, let's pull a New England Patriots here, okay? Let's deflate the ball a little bit. And let's just let this thing breathe and see where it ends up. But the potential there, Rob, they are first-round picks, man. But I don't know if there's a can't-miss prospect in any sport anymore.
Yeah. Well, damn you, Arash Madani, for being so damn sensible, because it was only 2 years ago we were talking about the potential of, you use your basketball analogy, you know, two Olympics worth of all NBA rosters for Canada, and yet alone
right.
here the men's side's not going, right?
Not
so,
going.
No, so I get the point. But we are, in terms of the state of the health of the game in Canada, it's strong.
Mm-hmm. It's stronger than it's ever been.
Okay.
And that the cool part about this is that, you know, it's in its infancy, Rob, because the payoff was actually supposed to come next year. What happened was, a number of years back, Tennis Canada hired this guy, Louis Bourfiga, who was running the high performance for the French Tennis Federation. And right now, France is the deepest and best tennis program in the world. You know, if there are top 30 guys who are not going to the Olympics from France because there are so many ahead of them. So Bourfiga comes to Canada and, you know, starts implementing his program, but he said, this is going to take 10 years. So, you know, we're going to plant the seed and it's going to come into bloom probably around 2017. Well, then 2014 rolled around, and there was Eugenie Bouchard on center court on the final Saturday of Wimbledon. And the day before, there was Raonic in the semifinals against Roger Federer on the same weekend Vasek Pospisil won.
Hmm.
What's happening now is, okay, so they fast-tracked, but now some of the we're starting to see some of the petals come out. We're starting to see some of the vegetables. Yeah, they're not quite ripe, but there was Shapovalov. There's Felix Auger-Aliassime, who's another 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid from Quebec who looks like an NFL-free safety, to be quite honest with you. There's Francois Abanda. There's some potential here that's lurking. It's just going to be a matter of time of whether or not we're going to get a really tasty tomato out of the garden, a really nice flower, or not. And we just have to wait to find out. But it's better than it's ever been.
Arash Madani joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Derek?
Arash, just wondering what it's going to take for Raonic to get to the next level. And when I say that, getting to number one or number two in the world right now, probably not going to happen anytime soon. But what about top four? What areas of his game does he have to improve to get to that level? Maybe catch Nadal, for example, at number four in the world.
Well, if we're being honest, let's look at his record this year. He's 37-3 against opponents not named Murray and Djokovic. He's 37-1 against opponents not named Murray, Djokovic, or Kyrgios. And Kyrgios is as good an athlete. You know, I bet you put a basketball in his hand, he could probably play semi-pro hoops right now. What is going to be important for Raonic is he wants to get to the net a lot more. And his net game has improved significantly. You know, adding John McEnroe has kind of helped there from an attitude standpoint. It's helped too. His movement has improved significantly. That's got to get a little bit better. He's the first to tell you that. You know what's crazy, guys, is that I don't say it's easier, but it's easier to get from 100 in the world to 20 in the world, or 150 in the world to 25 in the world, than it is to get from 7 to 4, especially now. And yeah, 1 and 2 is out of the way. What becomes interesting now is Roger Federer shut it down for the year. Raonic was 2-0 against Fed this year. We're just starting to see at the age of 25 some of it. But more than anything else, it's important for Milos to stay healthy. You know, last year, a lot of his season was a write-off. In January, he was on the verge of a breakthrough. He was up 2-1 on Andy Murray. Then his adductor went, and he missed a couple of months. This is his time. This is his opportunity. But more than anything else, he has to stay healthy.
As a guy who grew up playing tennis and watching and just loving John McEnroe as a tennis player and as a personality, I was so excited to hear that Milos was working with John. Talk about that relationship, how it's helped Milos on the court and off the court, and where do you see that partnership going moving forward?
Well, one thing that's interesting, Derek, is he told me back in 2013 that he actually approached McEnroe about working with him full-time. And McEnroe told him then, hey, I can't commit to the travel. I can do 10 weeks, maybe 12 weeks, but that's it. And at that time, Raonic wanted somebody full-time. He went with Ivan Ljubicic. Now, at this stage of things, he's fine with having McEnroe in spurts. And where McEnroe has helped him is the aggressiveness of going to the net, a lot of angles on the volleys, not necessarily the technical thing. But more than anything else is the demeanor on court, to have an intensity, to teach him about the mind games against an opponent and to kind of know when to be vocal and when not to be. And you're seeing, more than anything else, a more relaxed Raonic out on the court. What McEnroe actually told him was, you know, he said, my one regret as a player is that I didn't enjoy it more. That now that my career, and you know, that really hit Raonic, because Milos said, you know, I always thought John was a guy who was enjoying himself. He was the guy having fun out there, and that's the one thing that McEnroe laments. So McEnroe is helping him a little bit with the presence of when and how to get to the net, some of the angles, the intensity on the court, the swagger that you want to have. And on top of that, dude, just go enjoy yourself. And so often guys are, you know, this is by far the most relaxed we've seen him. I mean, usually Raonic puts a lot of pressure on himself. He's pretty tight throughout the week. It hasn't been that case this year. And I don't know if so much of it has to do just with McEnroe. The dude's 25 now. He just got the Wimbledon final. He's a little more comfortable in his own skin. He's dating a supermodel. I mean, all these things has now kind of helped him in trying to get, you know, to make sure the next time, Derek, he's on center court lifting something in the air, it's a trophy and not a plate.
And I'm wondering, and I'm thinking back to Wimbledon, if we saw some of that McEnroe attitude and gamesmanship in that match against Federer, because at times, Arash, I thought that Milos was frustrating Roger with the amount of time he was taking to serve the ball, to get into position, and those sorts of things.
Yeah, and even before that, against David Goffin, the round of 16, he was down 2-0. Never before had he come back to win. Matter of fact, he was 0-10 when down 2-0 in his career until then. He knew exactly what buttons to press there, when to take the long breaks in between sets, etc. Hey, this is all part of it, right? If, what do they say? If you're not cheating, you're not trying. But yeah, that's this is all part of the mental side of the game.
Arash, we got to let you go. I know you're busy over there. My just parting question, how's the crowds? Events well attended? Is it got a big feel to it?
I'll tell you this, guys, and I mean this. Last night when Shapovalov was on the court, the 17-year-old Canadian, he's the second match on center. It's under the lights. Raonic had just won. It was, you know, he's hitting shots. He was hitting tweeners, shots between his legs. When you have an exciting match on center court of this event, and the place has been packed, it's as electric an atmosphere as anything else in this country. Like it's as good as it's as good as Labor Day. It's as good as a, you know, fourth quarter, 7-point game. Opposing team is coming down on a 2-minute drill, trying to do it. It's got that kind of juice to it. And the crowds have just been jammed, especially in the night session. So it's been great.
Enjoy it, my friend. Be well. We will talk soon.
All right, fellas.
Arash Madani joining us now on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Delight in a flame grill burger and juice from over 30 gourmet toppings. Satisfy your cravings with South Street Burger. Better burgers, fries, and shakes.